Hello, everybody. This is Ryan with Product Hunt Radio, and I'm here with Samil. And Samil, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Samil Shaw, at Samil, S-E-M-I-L, on Twitter, and I work on the product team at Swell, which you kind of think of it as like, you know, the simple message is like it's a Pandora, Spotify for news, information, radio, podcast, like Product Hunt. And then I dabble a bit on the investing side, both helping out larger VCs and also administering a smaller fund.
Yeah, and Product Hunt is on Swell. So do you actually, can you describe Swell a little bit? I personally am a huge podcast nut, which anyone that knows me probably knows that. Yeah. And I've been listening to Jason's like This Week in Startups.
Me too. I think that's how we met, actually.
Really?
Wasn't it? I think we both like that show.
Yeah, yeah. I've been listening since, listening or watching since episode one, which I think was 3 or 4 years ago when he started, which is kind of crazy.
You're more a super fan than I am.
I still donate $5 a month to his producer program thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't get anything out of it, but, you know, I mean, and Jason doesn't need my money, but yeah, I don't know. Makes me feel good.
Yeah, so Swell, the idea, you know, the consumer idea in Swell was to say, you know, what would people want to do multiple times a day? What would provide value that accumulates over time? And where could we build something where there's still competition, but less competition?
Yeah.
So we thought about news. People check the news all the time. Then we thought about, well, there's a lot of news readers, right? So why do that? So then we thought, well, in the car, there's less competition. So, okay. Mm-hmm. But there's tons of competition for FM radio.
Yep.
But there's sort of less competition for AM radio. And then what is a competition look like? And then how can we focus on organic acquisition and then work on the product to like continuously improve engagement and retention?
Yeah.
And so that's sort of how it bore out. So that's kind of the nerdy description of it.
Yeah.
The consumer description of how people use it across the country is they view it as a way, as a new AM radio experience.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, helps them discover podcasts, helps them keep up with the news. You know, I use it as like background at home when I'm like cooking and stuff. I don't have TV.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a radio junkie. That's part of the reason I got involved in the company.
Yeah. I listen to podcasts primarily when I'm either at the gym, commuting, or in between like cooking. Exactly.
It's
like
those are the three 10 minutes. Those are the three big, you know, and like in the shower when you're brushing your teeth and that's like the fourth use case.
You brush your teeth in the shower?
Oh, no, I meant when you're brushing your teeth and then your shower.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of want to know how many people do that just out of random curiosity, just because it seems like a weird
thing. I
think
I'd be divorced if I did that.
Well, it seems to make sense. It's you know, optimizing your time. Why not do it all? Like, if you had a toilet in there, you could just do all three.
There's a precedent for that. I think there was a Seinfeld episode where Kramer was washing vegetables in the shower.
Okay. So I'm...
Kramer's also not married.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. You know, I need to watch Seinfeld. I'm one of those guys that somehow never got into it. Maybe we should, never mind. We're getting way too off track. Yeah, yeah. So Swell's been around, like, what, a year and a half, maybe,
launched? It's been public, like, available for download on iOS, Android soon, for, let's say, about 10 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 months.
Cool.
And it took about 9 months to develop it.
Really?
So, yeah.
So why... Because it's relatively simple on the outset. Like when you look at it, it plays different. You're sourcing from SoundCloud and many other sources of podcasts.
iTunes as well.
Yeah. So why did it take 9 months?
So there's a lot of stuff working in the background. And so, and that's primarily what took a lot of the time. So we built from scratch a content management system that ingests RSS. So the RSS could be text, it could be video. It happens to be audio right now.
Yeah.
And what we do with that is we have a team of content editors who were former radio producers who, sort of like how Pandora started with their genres, we created our own topics and we scored based on a variety of metrics what the original content is, and we put it into the system. So it's curated into the system. So for example, when we put you into... You know, when I talk to the guys to say, hey, we got to put Ryan's podcast into Swell, I actually had to send it to my colleague who's an audio editor, and they had to listen to you And they said, okay, we're going to...
And they're like, I don't know about
this. They were like, no, well, I can't tell you the real details, but no, I'm just kidding. They, you know, they actually had to listen to it, and then they assigned it a score. They accepted it first, and then they assigned it a score.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So you're preloading it with some sort of quality data, and then...
Yes.
And I'm assuming then that based on how people are listening to it, it changes over time.
Yeah, so I'll get there. So then the next layer is like, you know, when... The initial design of it was to make it lean back like Pandora. So someone's in the car, they're not going to be navigating too much.
Yeah.
So what it does, the recommender will then recommend a stream of content to you, and you can skip it if you don't like it, right? And it sort of learns over time. It learns how much you've listened to it, whether you've skipped it like 3 times from the same source.
Yeah.
And then it sort of gets better over time, right? So the algorithm sort of kicks in. And then the really cool part is that after a while of using it, they may take like a fingerprint of your listening. The algorithm takes a fingerprint of your listening, and it goes through like a collaborative filter where it basically says, well, Ryan sort of behaves like this inside Swell. But there's this other group in the network that sort of behaves like that.
I see.
And they really like this show on, you know, how to julienne peppers in the kitchen. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll send that to you. And we'll think there's a reasonable approximation that you may like that.
Got it. Right. Interesting. So as you mentioned, it becomes more and more valuable and useful over time.
Over time. Yeah. Now, the other reason it took a long time is because there are core audio player issues because we stream. We allowed some buffering down to the client, but generally it's a streaming service, and we wanted to build that from the ground up. And so a lot of those things sometimes have to be rewritten to make sure that it's working with the network properly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the design to make it simple actually I think took a long time. And so
we
were probably one of the first, we don't really like pound the table about it, but we're probably one of the first companies to really use like a card format from the beginning.
Yeah. It's clearly designed for, ease of use, but for the car, because again, you're not going to be clicking little buttons when you're driving.
Yeah,
You know, I've been using Stitcher for a long time, and I use Stitcher. Nothing against Stitcher, but I'm going to diss on it a little bit. The design of it is just so heavy, and there's so many toggles and switches. And
but to be fair to them, like it's moving in a lighter direction.
Yeah. It has. They did update, I think, last month.
And I also think that a lot of this stuff is early, right? Because if you like, a lot of people don't realize this, but there are strict rules in the car about like how you can interact with phones, right? So for example, in California, technically, you're not allowed to touch your phone.
Yeah.
But you can use a control. You can use a control on your headphones, right?
Okay.
Or you can use Bluetooth controls if you have Bluetooth. I have a 15-year-old car, so I use a headphone control.
Yeah.
Now, when cars get sort of synced up with iOS or Android platforms, they may interact some way, but those may be clunky.
Yeah.
You may have apps actually in the car. So Swell could actually just be an app in the car.
Yeah.
It'd just be that service.
Yeah.
Or you can have pop-up displays that actually take stuff from your phone and give you a way to, like, either through voice control or gesture control, like, interact with your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're set up for that, and in cars are becoming smarter, not to, like, use a cliche, but they're becoming a lot more, there's a lot more technology inside of cars right now.
Yeah. Think of the car as a consumer, a platform for consumer attention that's limited to certain use cases.
Yeah.
And that's definitely happening. It's just a matter of how it's going to happen. So
you're
technically not allowed to touch a phone. The car manufacturers and the mobile platforms are going to want to have an anchor in the car.
Yeah.
But that might not be a great user experience. And then pop-up displays are legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So one of the most fun questions I ask when I meet, especially founders, is like, what's on your home screen? I know everyone does this every now and then. You'll see it pop up on Twitter.
Yeah.
People sharing screenshots of their mobile phone home screen.
Yeah.
And why don't you just pop it open here? I'm curious. You know, the home screen is particularly fascinating because it's you select these apps that you use every single day, multiple times per day, usually.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see like why are these apps on here?
I think the caveat with that, I mean, we should go into it. The caveat is that with background services, like some apps, it doesn't require it because you just enter through push.
Yeah.
But generally, you're right. It does say it's sort of a statement, right?
Yeah.
And so this is my home screen. Again, I'll send it to you so you can put it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so what I'm just going to read it out here. We have like Spotify, you have settings, which I think most people probably have that easily accessible. Although you can kind of swipe up now from the bottom to see most settings. By the way, we're looking at an iOS device right now. Was it iPhone?
Well, maybe we should just talk about what are the third-party apps on here, right?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about... So I'm seeing Circa, Medium, Vine, Pocket, YouTube Clear, Asana, Refresh, of course Swell.
Yeah.
Weatherline. I'm not familiar with Weatherline.
Yeah,
that's... And SoundCloud.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the SoundCloud is just... I mean, partly for work, because we take a lot of RSS, and partly because I actually record a lot of audio.
You do it on your phone?
Yeah, I record it privately. Like, if I'm having a conversation with someone about something in mobile, and they're way smarter than me, and I'll just ask them and say, hey, can I record this? Or, you know,
do you keep it private then in SoundCloud? Is that...
Oh, absolutely.
Just to store it?
Yeah, absolutely. Than, I want to refer back to it. Like, yesterday I met... Yeah. Like, the first guy who gave me a chance on the investing side, I met him for lunch, and he was, like, coaching me on some elements, and I was like, do you mind if I record this piece? He's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I'll want to refer back to it, and so I've just started, because I've been doing the Sunday conversations as well, and, like, hosting the sound here, I just pay for the full rate, and I'm just a fan of the company.
Yeah.
So I have it there.
Yeah.
I actually check Facebook, like, a lot. I know people say that they don't, or it's not cool, or it's being unbundled, but...
So I'm going to admit something. Let's say I'm standing in, let's say, the coffee line. I will check many different apps. One of them is Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
And this is embarrassing, but I will put my phone closer to my chest sometimes when I'm checking Facebook, because for whatever reason, there's a stigma against Facebook, and it's almost like you're not cool for checking Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about it. But I check it all the time.
Yeah.
Probably 10 to 30 times a day.
And then I use a Sunrise for calendar. It's like, I think the best...
Yeah.
You know, I actually tried to invest in that company very early, and they were like, no. They're like, can you help us in mobile growth? And I was like, ugh! But no, it is a very, very nicely designed...
Yeah. I use Sunrise as well, have for over a year, I think.
And, you know, I would say they've kind of grinded out, you know, mobile, and it's like they're not in a viral category, and it's pure utility. I always think that, like, Dropbox, I just don't understand why Dropbox hasn't bought them yet.
Yeah.
It seems like designed for that kind of mailbox way, but
yeah,
I definitely like Circa because I can subscribe to things and then I just get the alerts.
Yeah.
They sort of start bleeding into the breaking news alerts, which I also get.
Yeah.
I'm very sensitive to, like, what push notifications I allow.
Yeah.
So I do allow theirs, and I like looking at it a couple times a week.
Yeah. What I noticed going back to Stitcher recently has been doing, I don't know if you noticed this, but push notifications for breaking news alerts, for audio, of course. And I've found that useful and interesting. And I usually won't swipe and actually listen to the audio because I'm not in a context or a situation to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But just having that push notification of, oh, this event just happened nearby, like relevant, that's breaking, is interesting. I should try Circa. It's been a long time since I've looked at it.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool product things that Circa did inside the app that a lot of other apps can learn from, I think.
Yeah.
So in the pure design, like the subscribe to get the push inside, like, I'm surprised a lot of apps don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's a very clear trigger. When you already got somebody in the app and you want to re-engage them, and then you're cramming push notifications down their throat, just let the user, like, hit a button and be like, yeah, I want more, I want more, I want more.
Yeah. I mean, actually, so I do, there's an element of news, of course, with Product Hunt, and when you like a product or when you download a product, you want to stay up to date on, you know, what app updates occur and things like that. For some people, you do care about the funding announcements and that kind of thing as well. So there's an element of a Circa and something I could take from that with Product Hunt in re-engaging and providing more value for products that people have upvoted and like.
Absolutely. It's just that, like, lightweight user control.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about Twitter, right? Think if something happened today where there was, like, some unfortunate event in San Francisco, and you could see, like, a hashtag come up in your stream. You sort of hard code on, sort of long touch, long tap on the thing, and it says subscribe.
Yeah.
And then you just get the push notice to that, right? Like, you'd probably do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Or, that is fascinating. I mean, favorites are kind of a fascinating behavior on Twitter, I think.
Oh, yeah, you asked me about that today.
Yeah, yeah, because you, so you tweeted your six, what was it, number?
I had a hard time, like, writing it out, because I've never written out that number, but I guess today, and I'll explain why I probably should, I wrote my 60,000th tweet. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It just sounds weird to say.
It does sound weird. And I sort of figured out, so it's been, I've used it for 6 years. I've used Twitter for 6 years.
Yeah.
I'm also like, I like to respond to people, and so I don't use it just as a broadcast mechanism, so that's probably why. So I think, you know.
So I'm about half of you, 35,000 or so.
Yeah.
And
it's not by design. It just sort of happened.
Yeah, yeah. My favorites, though, 21,000. I'm surprised I don't have more favorites, really.
Yeah, there's a company, Favestar, right? This is a guy in Palo Alto. But he had sort of, I think, some issues like going back and forth around the API. But yeah, I mean, I think favorites are this unharvested signal.
Yeah.
Inside Twitter that I don't know what they're going to do with. But it feels like it'd be cool to know what other people's favorites are. And it's easy to figure that out. Yeah. But it's also hard to, like, do something with it.
The challenge with favorites is that it means different things for different people.
Yes.
For some, they have scripts, and when they favorite something, it goes in a pocket, and it's like, right. I want to save this for later.
Right.
For others, for me primarily, it's a read receive.
So I wrote a post about this because I thought they have to, like, remove that distortion of the signal.
Yeah.
So at some point, they cannot, like, they'll have to provide it, they'll have to separate bookmark from favorite, from, like... Yeah. Right, because it distorts the signal. It also creates awkward situations, I think, for people who are like, why did you favorite that tweet? And I was like, no, I just was saving it. You know?
Yeah.
So I think eventually they'll have to. Like a like in Facebook is pretty clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually curious if they used a different word, if they would have more engagement too. Because favorite, for some people, again, read receipts. For others, it's like, favorite is it's a high barrier, like to say this is my favorite, but if you like something, it's like a low barrier. It's like, oh, I like that, you know? So it's actually interesting. Like, if they just change that word, would they have more favorites and more engagement and more reciprocation between users?
Well, so part of it is public and private too, right? So it could be favorite read receipt, right? And so it's public and exposed. Could be bookmark and save. Like, I could turn every tweet, open it up in the browser and save it in Pocket, and you would never know.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
So I think they've got it's not an immediate problem, but I definitely think they'll have to sort that out.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm looking at your home screen again. Yeah. What do you think of Medium?
Oh, so I think Medium will be like another billion-dollar company for that group of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I just think it's extremely smart. And you just see new people coming on and trying, like people who haven't posted before, like I want to write something on Medium. And it actually reminds me, the level of content going on there sort of reminds me of like when people were in the Quora beta, like about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Actually 4 years ago now.
It's been that long.
When like, you know, really, really knowledgeable people were coming on and like writing answers to questions, and it seemed kind of new.
Yeah.
Now, the challenge is that a lot of it is like, you know, well, why are you, you know, there's a lot of crap on there too.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's a publishing platform. But I think they do smart things to route relevant posts to relevant people because they force you to log in with Twitter. And so it's very smart that way. It's very, very crafty.
Yeah.
I also don't think that they care too much about being a destination, which is Quora would always want to be a destination.
Yeah. Well, a month ago, they added support for embedded collections and embedded posts. So you can embed it on your own domain, for example, your own posts.
Medium?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that.
Oh, did you miss that? Yeah, it's interesting. And it's, one, people love the presentation of Medium posts.
Oh, yeah.
And they also don't want to set up their own like destination-owned site.
Of course.
Some people want to still own that domain and put it within their own native kind of like publishing experience.
Yeah.
So
I also just think on Medium, just like a note on the mobile app, I think the mobile app is so well designed. Like, it's so good. Like, you can just tell the people who, the craftsmanship involved in putting that together, right, is like elite.
It's
And even if you open like somebody, like I sent out like a collection that I created two collections, I think.
Yeah.
And I sent out one that was like very personal posts, like nothing to do with technology or entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And if you open it just in a mobile browser, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it looks different. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I don't want to sound like a startup hipster, but I looked at an early version of their mobile app and you know, it was very simple and it was focused on just the reading experience like they have today, but it wasn't nearly as polished as this is now. And what I really liked about this approach in the app is it uses a really interesting navigation in which you're always swiping.
Yeah.
Well, you're swiping up and down to read, and you're always swiping forward.
Yeah.
And it's reminds me a little bit of StumbleUpon, where it's like you yep. just only have these two simple interactions.
Well, what's nice is, like, in Pocket, everyone who hoards content, right? Yeah. There's just sort of like, well, I have to get through it because you're trained to get through your inbox and all yeah. these other conventions. And here there's like no start, no stop.
Yeah.
It's endless, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to just like pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down.
Yeah. So as much as I love Medium, more from a publisher's perspective, I like writing on it. I like connecting with people on that
mm-hmm.
platform.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't... Maybe it's because I just haven't been reading in general as much anymore, but I haven't found myself coming back to the mobile app just because... It's not that the content's not good. It's just I don't have...
Right.
I'm just too busy. I don't know.
Right. But I mean, so think about it this way. Think about if you're on the web and then Josh, you know, posts more and more stuff about his upcoming conference, right?
Yeah.
And then you can let's say you decide to subscribe their new feature
yeah.
in Medium to, like, whenever Josh posts, you get a notification.
Yeah.
Then they can send you a push. Here, like, Josh has posted something there.
Yeah.
Now, you probably... Twitter doesn't have that yet.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay. So they're actually competing for your attention in that push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Theoretically.
Well, it's they're creating a network also of content. Right now you have blogs that are disparate and not connected in any way outside mm-hmm. of links between one another, but that's mm-hmm. really hard to parse.
Yeah.
Their related links is fascinating and how they're using that to determine what article actually appears when you're swiping right. And yeah. when you go on the web.
Yeah.
So it's getting better.
A lot of this ties back to reputation. So, like, I think people don't want to talk about this, but it's just where it is. Like, in our world of technology and entrepreneurship and stuff, reputation lies in Twitter.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but that's where it is. So, like, in Medium is an extension of that. So if you're just starting out and writing stuff and you write really great stuff about web development or investing yeah. or... You know, how do you hire, you know, you're awesome at explaining recruiting tips,
yeah. right?
The audience that you build on Medium going back through into Twitter, they can help you find the right people that want to read it.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, the tight integration is just very smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've been, over the past 2 weeks, getting smarter with their email notifications as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting more and more of them. And for me, it's not too noisy, but it is very relevant. Part of it is, you know, I got an email like this morning and it's like Ev Williams, Hunter Walk, like Samuel Shaw, like recommended this article. And so mm-hmm. there's that social proof of this is a good piece. And
I just use Twitter for that.
I mean, I do too. Yeah. And I pocket things and I read them later. But when you see all of these people that you respect that have recommended an article, it's aggregating them sort of like, is it called Newsle? I always forget the name.
Nuzzle.
Nuzzle. I get yeah. Newsle and Nuzzle mixed up. Yeah. Nuzzle does that. Using Twitter, it says these five people that you follow right. recommended this article or shared this article. And Medium's doing, I don't know, they're getting smarter. They've been kind of...
I find like I don't need more stuff to read.
yeah, yeah. So I agree with you. As much as I love Medium, I don't find myself coming back there yeah. to read as much.
My reading list is like very, very focused.
I saw the IFT...
I used a bunch of IFT triggers.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre because people... protect their email, but I basically take the text from the RSS, use an IF trigger,
yeah.
and it sends me right to email. So when those yeah. 40 people ever post, boom, right into my email.
Yeah.
I never miss it.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know of many people using that. I mean...
No. I mean, it's quite invasive.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it can kill your inbox.
Yeah.
But, you know, that assures that I read it.
Yeah. What do you think of... Have you engaged with Quib much? I know you're on it, but I don't know if you've...
Not as much. I mean, I definitely think I like it a lot. I like Sandy a lot. And I mean, it's cool that that they got funded because I yeah. think it's like the type of product that should have, and it wasn't like in the growth hype category. Yeah. I haven't used it, to be honest, that much.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just tied into Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah.
Twitter kind of does it. Twitter's like the way I view the web, basically.
Yeah. Do you use TweetDeck or a client, or do you use the web?
I do not use native Twitter products.
Okay.
I guess TweetDeck now is technically.
Yeah.
But no, I can't. I just can't. Like, it's like I'm even looking at your new profile.
Yeah.
And when I see people's new profiles, the way I read information, I mean, maybe it's just me. I don't know. the change in font and like the spacing and it's, like the density of information is like way too hard for me to digest.
Yeah, it's a bit big. It's hard. Like I'm right now scrolled up to the top and I see half of a tweet. And I can scroll down, you know, and I see one more.
I mean, I'll just be honest. Like, I love Twitter. I mean,
yeah.
I use Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
This page, I don't understand this page. Yeah.
I do like their new emojis. Their custom emojis are pretty rad.
Okay.
I'm checking out my my little rocket ship emoji that I included in the tweet, and it's
yeah,
it's fun.
I don't get it.
So yeah, I use Pocket as well.
Yeah, I've been using Pocket less. I like those guys. I just want to read less.
Yeah. What do you use for messaging, actually? I mean, do you use just one dedicated messaging app, or do you use many? Or
I used to do this. I used to have a messaging folder where I would just let anyone contact me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is just too much. So primarily I just use text. I just use iMessage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at my screen right now, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess you'd say 4 are dedicated messaging services: Snapchat, MessageMe, Telegram, and Context. And I mean, they're all used for different, I guess, people and different use cases. Like Snapchat is very different than MessageMe. But for me, I use MessageMe with a group of people, on Telegram, another group of people. Mm-hmm. And then Context, I don't have a lot of friends on there, but I have a few. And it's
I think it maybe just no. I think it maybe just comes down to like where your groups are.
Yep.
And I just kind of just go back to email. Like I tried a year ago for like people to pitch me on stuff for like, you know, pitch me through MessageMe, and I give them my PIN.
I remember
you know, that. And then I just at the end I was just like, just email me and just keep it under 1,000 characters.
Yeah.
And I will respond. Yeah. And it's just easier.
Yeah, I've also been using Slack more recently, which
I've heard a lot about Slack.
There's a lot of good buzz about it. They just raised a bunch of money, but the product is, it's not that it's entirely new. It's not much different than like HipChat and many others, but it's just done really well.
Well, there's also one called Convo, right? That sort of does this.
I don't know this app.
There you go. I stumped the product hunt guy and the radio show.
That's it. I'm done. I retire.
Let's see, the other apps on here are, I definitely use Asana for like my to-do list. So like my workflows, like I'll forward a lot of stuff to Asana to clean up my inbox.
Yeah.
And then on the weekend where I like catch up on all my work without like pressure.
Yeah.
I just go through and like sort and everything. And I really like Asana.
Yeah.
But I use it as a single player. So
that's not as most people, it's for teams.
So I worked at a company where I tried to convince them to use Asana.
Yeah.
And at the end they were like, no. And at Swell, I was like, oh, you guys should check out Asana. And now they start using it. So I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just a very personal choice.
Yeah.
I definitely use Clear for my to-do list. It's just very simple, easy. I don't want to integrate it anywhere else, actually. I just want it on my phone.
Yeah.
I was lucky to invest in Refresh. I use it all the time.
Cool.
I think it's like a superpower app.
Yeah.
It's really, really exciting to work with those guys.
Yeah.
And the things you can do from it are like, the intro feature is the best feature.
I haven't used it yet.
Okay, that's relatively new, right? So you have to use it. So basically, think of someone that you're going to intro in the next month, in the next week or so.
Yep.
All you do is you basically drop down in the menus and pick the names, like you want to introduce Rick to Betty.
Okay.
And then it creates from scratch an email with their whole resumes attached to the email.
And it resumes pulling from LinkedIn or I guess or
the,
whatever.
The refresh Got it. Profile.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, I want you to meet Rick, I want you to meet Betty, blah, blah, blah,
Does
blah,
it
blah.
Feel personal enough? Because I do several intros and I want it to be, you know, succinct but also personal but have enough context.
You can edit the text if you want to. But generally, I think most of those intros are done where you've already briefed the other person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been using Refresh over the past 6 months or so. Yeah. I think I had access to their beta early on. And I do like how they're spreading out. Initially, it was just, here's some information about someone you're meeting, which, you know, here's where they worked. They're married. They just tweeted this recently. And now they're expanding to intros and other features, which is basically facilitating meetings and making those more effective, which I really like. So you mentioned, so your investor, you made how many investments?
By tomorrow, it'll be 32. Closing one tomorrow. 32, yeah.
Over what time period? Because you haven't been doing it for very long, have you?
Yeah, no, over, I guess I would say, maybe like 14, 15 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's and funny. I take a small, you know, so the check size is small.
Yeah.
And so the goal of the first one was just to make a little bit under 40 investments in a year and a half time and just sort of then come up from air and see how it was.
Yeah.
Because I've always been interested in it. But obviously a large piece of it from like all the TechCrunch columns and working at Swell, working on other mobile products, has been focused on mobile. So I think about apps and mobile technology all the time.
Yeah.
But the fund isn't confined to that.
Yeah. Do you have, what do you look for, I guess? Do you have a specific thesis or anything like that? Or is it just you think is compelling?
Yeah. So there's mobile technology that sits inside the phone or helps access the phone access or the device access the network that are interesting.
Yeah.
So like I've done a company that will actually provide key hardware into like the next generation of phones. So like I wanted to make a bet in that layer.
Yeah.
There's another company that I'm working on that like helps with data transmission from mobile devices to the network and back, right? And does a compression. So I wanted to do something at that layer.
Yeah.
At the app layer, it's pretty brutal. And so like I only focus on the four or five categories that can grow.
Yeah.
And so it's unfair, but that's what the data is pretty clear.
Yeah.
So
what are those categories?
So gaming is the biggest one, but I actually don't invest in gaming
companies. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you have.
Although I did my first one because this company is like the ex-CTO of Electronic Arts. Hmm. And he's got a business idea with a partner in China to actually license and localize games for the Asian market.
From the U.S. or elsewhere into Asia. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a unique talent.
Yeah, it's not building your own games from scratch, but it's a systemized process, it sounds like, too.
So gaming is like the big category. The next one are apps that leverage the main sensors on the phone, which are location and or photo.
Yeah.
Right? So like I did... like Josh Williams' new company, which will be a location-based company.
It has a really cool design and aesthetic. What's the name of it?
I just thought it was always as... Oh, Last.
Yes,
I almost forgot for a minute. I was like, it's just Josh's company.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's... there's probably... Because I've known Josh for a while.
Yeah.
And because I can have very deep discussions with Josh about product and like he's been through the fire of trying to do this before.
Yeah.
It's more a bet on his idea and vision than anything. But I know the category he's going to start in.
Yeah.
The next one would be anything around messaging or network effect businesses. So like Refresh is a network effect business. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why the messaging apps took off. And then the other category, which is very hot right now, is mobile on-demand services, where you basically just using the phone as a touch point to grab credit card, location, unique identifier of an individual. Yep. They hit tap, and then you do a bunch of stuff that they don't see.
Yeah, it's...
it's crazy.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Yesterday, in the product and email, I outlined just a few Uber for X companies, and... Mm-hmm. It was funny. I went through just a history of some products submitted on Product Hunt and maybe listed just a dozen, which is not many. Mm-hmm. And when I sent that out, I got emails from 3 to 5 people pitching me their startup and like, hey, here's Uber for this.
Yep.
One of them was Uber for Weed called Canary, which hasn't launched yet, but it's in the Northwest. In
Uber for Weed.
Uber for Weed, yeah. They're going through
the guy. That's got to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. I was emailing the founder and he's going through some... like regulatory stuff, but you know,
quote regulatory stuff.
Regulatory stuff, but yeah, he's you know, you open up your app and you click a button and Weed comes to your door, and there's so many of those, and it's interesting trend for so many reasons. I mean, everyone has mobile phone.
Very few have geographically expanded. That's the bottom. That's the hurdle.
Yeah,
and so. Obviously, when you look at what Uber has done, or look at their... Like, I think a few months ago, people on Twitter were sharing, like, the expansion of cities over time.
Yeah.
It's just so far ahead of every other service, it's laughable.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few others that are sort of breaking out, but the majority of them, you start in a location, and then you just don't figure out the engine.
What's the most compelling or interesting Uber for X company, would you say, right now for you?
Compelling in what sense?
Compelling in terms of just, you think it has the most potential outside of the obvious, let's say, leaders like Uber themselves. Is there any particular product out there that's like captures your attention the most?
I mean, I'm slightly biased here, but I'll give you some biased and unbiased answers.
Yeah.
So Instacart is a company I was involved in since the seed round, and they're very impressive. I mean, they'll probably get to 10 cities by the end of this year.
I love Instacart. If anyone follows me on Twitter or even reads my writing, I've written about them a couple times just because I love them. Love the product, use it weekly, and their customer service is fantastic as well.
Right. So when the value there is in the execution of like launching the cities.
Yeah.
Right. Because you know what the plan is, right? Instacart in the Bay Area is not going to be different than Instacart in Miami.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of like, do you actually do it in time with speed and without a reduction in quality?
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. DoorDash is another company I invested in that's really doing well. I mean, at a smaller scale than Instacart, but there's no reason they can't be in a year.
Yeah.
I think Postmates is really interesting I have a background in economics, and this is a lot of how I view the world, for better or worse. And I think of people just entering into a Postmates labor force wherever they are and getting demand for their labor whenever they want, and then spending time with their family or not having to commute, at hours that they don't want to commute. So that's pretty exciting. That's a big idea. We'll see whether the verticalized solutions win or the sort of like broad solution wins.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else. I guess I would say I haven't tried these products, but Spoon or Sprig. Yeah, you can kind of joke about it that like, hey, this is ridiculous. This is a food truck and your mobile app, and you get technology funding from like the best investors on the planet. But I would just say that we don't really know how like even people younger than us are going to behave, and what their conventions are going to be, or what brands they care about, or whether, first of all, Goggin is like a killer, right? I mean, this guy knows what he's doing, right? So if he has an idea and you're an investor and you see some metrics going, you're probably like, okay.
Yeah.
Right? Now, he could take Sprig to 10 cities. I would never bet against that guy to do it. Now, in 1 or 2 years, could he offer it where you open Sprig and you can also order Taco Bell? Right. Yeah. Who owns that customer relationship? What's the brand?
Yeah. A friend of mine's working on something in that space in terms of how do you provide a platform and a network of delivery people.
Here's the thing that no one talks about around this, which is, I mean, this is off the topic of products, but generally these companies, there's tons of demand out there. So the first step is you go and find where the demand is and you start to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. The constraint on a lot of them is actually having enough reliable labor to meet the demand.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, so I we're at the Tradecraft headquarters here, and I took an Uber, an UberX over here. And actually, I was chatting with the guy. He actually has 3 Priuses. He's buying his 4th, and he's just like kind of a traditional taxi company. He's outsourcing the labor and taking a cut of what they earn. And so you're seeing these models of like on-demand labor force through Uber, Lyft, and people building businesses on top of those using just really traditional like business models.
Sure.
Cool. Awesome. Well, this has been fun, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Other than like Swell, is there anything you want to plug? Or I mean, you didn't even talk about your writing at all. You've been, how many posts have you written probably this year?
Like, oh, I don't know.
200?
If people are interested in mobile technology apps or investing or the intersection of those two, they might find my blog interesting.
Yeah.
But if they're not, they probably won't.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, the people on here better be into that kind of stuff. Otherwise, why are you guys listening? I mean, it's been, almost 40 minutes, so you should be out by now.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot for coming on, dude.
Yeah. Thank you,
Ryan. Yeah. See ya.